Hello and welcome to the Mountainbrook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, June 30th. Happy Missions Monday. Let's begin with our memory verse, or the verse that we're trying to internalize this week. It's from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 39. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. What does it mean for us to lose our life for Jesus' sake? That is not a question with a quick answer. That is a question for us to ponder and to pray over. And if you didn't hear Wayne's sermon yesterday, I suggest that you go back and listen, because he talks about this paradox of true life that is found in surrender and in taking up our cross and following Jesus. Today in our 180 days through Scripture, we're in Hebrews again. Remember yesterday we talked about Hebrews chapter 2, our great high priest who is Jesus our Lord. Today we're going to talk about people of faith. People who didn't exactly see the outcome of what God had promised, but they believed in God. And that's going to set us up for tomorrow, where we'll get into the great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in the foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. Wow, this is a wonderful passage that reminds us, by faith and not by sight, but by trust, we can believe that God's promises will come about. I just want to go back through the passage a bit. It's talking about all of these things that require faith. They require belief, because it's amazing to think about the outcomes. Verse 1, now faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance of things that we can't see. In verse 3, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. That's a faith question. Do you believe that God made the world? By faith, we say yes. if you look on down, you see that Abraham had to, by faith, leave what was comfortable and go to somewhere else that God called him to. He was obedient, even though he didn't know where he was going, and even though the road would be hard. I love verse 10. It says, "For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." This is a spiritual city, and perhaps he's talking even about the heavenly city. Yes, he was going to a new earthly city, but more than that, he had a heavenly perspective. And then finally, when he talks about Sarah here, who was past childbearing age, and even from a man who was as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars. It took faith to believe that God's promise to Abraham and Sarah many years prior would come true. And yet, even though God's timing was not the timing that Sarah and Abraham would have preferred, God made good on his promises. I wonder if you've ever taken a step of faith without knowing the full outcome. Or maybe here's another question. What would it look like today if you moved out in faith? Our second passage is Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as the flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. In this passage, Jesus is transfigured before the disciples. They get a glimpse of what Jesus will look like from the heavenly perspective before he goes to the cross. It is a picture for them, maybe even an encouragement. Right now, they don't know what to do with it. He's with Moses and Elijah. Peter is flabbergasted. He has no idea what to say. And yet, the voice from heaven, God our Father, confirms again, "This is my son." How does he say it? Let me read for us one more time the end of that passage. "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Oh Lord, help us to be faithful in listening to you today. Our final passage is Proverbs 30, verses 32 and 33. "If you play the fool and exalt yourself, or if you plan evil, clap your hand over your mouth. For as churning cream produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife." Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. This proverb is using some imagery to warn us first against pride and also against stoking a fire. If you play the fool and exalt yourself, so if you're being prideful, then you better clap your hand over your mouth, because humility and restraint hearts are the mark of wisdom. I love the image of churning cream, producing butter. So stirring up anger or being somebody who's always provoking others, that's going to produce strife. And that's not something that we want in our lives. And so to recap, in Hebrews, we're reminded what faith is. It is belief in what we don't always see, and it's demonstrated through a life of obedience. In Luke's gospel, we saw the transfiguration. We saw with Peter, James, and John, Jesus in all of his glory, a glimpse of what is to come. And then in the Proverbs, we're reminded that pride and stirring up anger are just things that we need to avoid. And so we need help from the Holy Spirit today. Lord, convict us of the places where our hearts are not humble. We want to end today by praying for Rick and Lita Sample. They are missionaries serving in California, and they work with immigrants and refugees from Afghanistan, Iran, Pakistan, Yemen, India, and even Turkey. They teach English as a second language and partner with different ethnic churches. And I get tired reading their bio, so I can only imagine that they feel a little overwhelmed in their job sometimes. So we want to pray for them and their ministry today. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for this podcast, for this opportunity we have to read your word together. We pray, Lord, that it would get in our hearts and that you would transform us by your word and your spirit working in us. Give us faith, Lord, to believe that you are at work in our hearts and in our situations, and help us to take up our cross and to follow you, to lose our lives for your sake and then find them. Thank you for glimpses of your glory. Would you pull back the curtain and give us another glimpse of your glory today? We pray for clarity and for courage and for peace in conflicts. We lift up to you our partners in ministry, Lita and Rick Sample. We ask for your blessings on their missionary endeavors. Help them to be effective communicators of the gospel and God's message of love, hope, and salvation. And now, Lord, send us all out into your world to be missionaries who share the goodness of Jesus' love and the transforming nature of his witness to a world around us desperately in need of flourishing. We pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord and our friend. Amen.